This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was about to ask the choir to sing the following song, but I thought maybe it would be too much for my first Sunday preaching. We are family. Oh, come on, you know the second line.
We are family.
All my brothers, sisters, and me. Okay. Well, I figured after reading these three parts of our service today, these readings from the Hebrew Testament and from St. Paul and from Jesus, that I would title this sermon, Family Bonds, Family Bondage. You all know what I mean, right? Yes. Okay. So I want to thank you. It's my privilege to be called to be your associate rector. And how do you express how much we all love you, Marty? Mm. And I will tell you, as a priest, when I had some pretty low times in my ministry, Marty was always there for me, and Dee, of course, as well. So I'm really grateful to both of them. I'm so looking forward to get to know each and every one of you and to establish my relationships with this beloved community of St. Joseph's. I'm here to be a servant leader, and I'm here to engage with you in the calling of Jesus. Please feel free to visit me in the parish office. Do you remember where Rev Wendy was? That's where my office is. So please come and visit me, and you can see the ark that my sister gave me that's pretty big in there. Anyway, I want to thank you, because I've had a wonderful first week with the welcoming of Father Marty and Dee, and of Barbara, of Rachel, and all the volunteers, and Justin came and helped me with my technology. I really am very, very grateful for all of the people that made my first week very, very warm-hearted. I've encountered you, the people of St. Joseph's, over the years, so everybody here, not everybody here, but a lot of people here I've known from Crucio, where I was the spiritual director, and also through the diocese. I am a lifelong Episcopalian. Although I grew up in Miami, I have always been engaged in the church, and know that St. Joseph's is definitely a very sacred place, and the spirit here is very palpable. So today I said to you that the readings are about family, and I would say that family can be quite complicated. Not only our blood relatives, but those friends that become our family. And families are incredibly diverse, and there's a combination of individuals that we have, and it's very interesting. I find that with my two sisters, I'm the youngest, that we're very much alike in some ways and very different in other ways. So I have one that's a massive, massive introvert, not me, as you can already tell. And I have another one that's a beautiful artist, and I wish I was, but I'm not a beautiful artist. But it's fun to celebrate everybody's gifts, but we do come to life in very different ways. One of the best movies, you're going to see that I refer to a lot of movies, and I hope you've seen them, and if not, maybe you'll go see them, and if not, maybe you'll just enjoy what this part of this movie struck me for the sermon. I don't know if anybody has seen Lion in Winter. I see some head shaking. Okay, one of my favorite actresses is Katharine Hepburn, and she's with Peter O'Toole, and they are Henry II and Eleanor of Aquitaine. And he has a mistress, probably more than one, but he has a mistress, and they are having this knockdown, drag-out fight. I don't know if you remember this scene, and they have physical, and it's really angry, and as Katharine Hepburn holds on to his foot as he's leaving the scene, she looks up as only Katharine Hepburn can do and says, families always have their little ups and downs. And to me, that's such a power of understatement, because we know that we all in families have our ups and downs. And then the second reading, actually the first reading, is about the story, the tragic story of Absalom. It's so sad. This beloved son of David who betrays him. and its ultimate betrayal of a son against a father. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because we hear, when we're young, all these powerful stories about David, right? He's King David. He's the warrior. And he starts all this incredible things for Israel. But we realize in this story, he had some problems with his children. It's an ultimate betrayal. And you hear that he has this greatness of establishing the kingdom and giving them relief after the horrific reign of Saul. But then now he can't even control his own son. As we see when he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, he can dance to the Lord. His exuberance is wonderful. But in this time, he has terrible tragedy. The Psalms are his gift to us, and we realize through the Psalms portray every single human emotion. I remember during 9/11, when we were searching for prayers, the Psalms were the ones that struck our hearts because they talk about the depths, the cries of mourning and redemption. Out of the depths I have called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. Incredible sadness. And you know, he was a great hero, but I have to tell you, as you know, his choices were not always admirable. They are made with passion, but sometimes with no justice. But we love him, and we recognize that even the great heroes of the Bible had flaws. And so we too have to work on our emotion and our rash behavior. The minute I see the word Absalom, okay, I have to warn you all, I'm an old English teacher. I thought of William Faulkner's great work, Absalom, Absalom. And what happens in this reference to David's son, he really presents us with this horrific struggle of family throughout generations. And whether we not like it or not, oftentimes we're even judged by what our families do. And it seems unfair, and it probably is, but remember your genetics. You are your biological mother and father. So it's a very powerful novel, very convoluted, about the Civil War and how that tore apart families with an obscene use of power and control. Some of these universal ideas permeate and stay alive through our literature. Another one of my favorite movies is called The Way. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's about the Camino, the Santiago de Compostela, the path, the pilgrimage you take in Spain to go to the Church of St. James. And this story is with one of my favorite actors, Martin Sheen, and his son, Emilio Estevez. And what happens is Martin Sheen is a doctor, and his son has kind of gone away and been kind of not as bad as Absalom, but he has gone away and abandoned his father, and they just don't agree with anything. But unfortunately, he dies on the Camino, his son. And so Martin Sheen is called to go to France and actually live the way. And one of my favorite lines about family, especially about parents and children, happens when Tom, Martin Sheen, decides he's going to take the journey himself. And so he wants to understand himself, and he wants to understand his son. And he has this backpack that has everything in it. And he puts the backpack down at a restaurant as one of the stops, and this little boy steals it. And he's in panic because he says, that's everything. All my life is in this backpack for my trip. And so after that happens, that night, the father of the boy brings him to Martin Sheen, and he says, give it back to him. And he gives him back the precious, precious backpack. And what the father says is so profound. He says, you know, your children, they're the best of you and the worst of you. They are the best of you and the worst of you. And to me, that's a very profound statement because of the complicated relationships that parents have with children. So as with the biblical David and the fictional characters of Absalom, we're all flawed and we're still trying to do our best. And so how do we live into doing our best? Well, I would say with estranged family members, it can be very hurtful and painful, and it can be passed on from generation to generation. But the good news today is let's take a listen to what St. Paul teaches us in the second reading. I love when he says, he doesn't say it exactly like this in this reading, but he says it in other readings. Speak the truth in love. That's one of my favorite things from St. Paul. I'm a big fan of St. Paul. I got a lot of flack from people at when I was doing my doctorate. They said, how can you like him? I said, I love him. I think he's brilliant. And his letters, to me, create healthy family relationships. Think about it. Speak the truth in love. Watch your anger and don't go to sleep until you've figured it out, until you've worked that anger out. Be tender-hearted. Don't you love that word? Tender-hearted. Watch your words. Whoops. That's one thing I'm not good at. Because we get a little rash and we'll say something. But watch your words. Because we all know you can't take them back. You can apologize, but you can't take them back. What's that old image of the toothpaste coming out of the toothpaste and you can't get it back in? Well, the same thing with words. And don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. In other words, watch your actions and only respond in love. Living by these ways of Paul is not easy. I don't think any of us do it all the time. And when we look at what Jesus teaches us, it's so counterintuitive. I mean, come on, Jesus. Really love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Forgive 70 times 70. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's just overwhelming. He's so counterintuitive, but we know we have to live this way if we're Christians, right? Does everybody agree?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a wonderful relationship with Dean Crickbaum at the cathedral, and he gave a sermon one time that I think makes perfect sense. He said, Jesus loves everyone, and you must too. Some people farther away than others. Don't you love that? I have to tell you, I will say that in a few more sermons as well. So I have to think about today with families, because one thing that I wrestle with is, why is it that sometimes the people that we love the most, we hurt the most? Why is that? That's crazy. I think it has to do with unconditional love. We think that we can do anything to them and they're still going to love us, which probably is not a good idea. But that's very, very important. So today, we're going to be offered the bread of life. And this bread is the eternal holy food of God. And we look at Jesus with his family, and what do they say? Oh, we know you. We know your mom and dad. We know your family. Get over yourself. Give us a break. What are you trying to tell us? And so we don't get it, and it's, we have to understand he is the way, the truth, and the light, and that God is so much bigger than our understanding. He's able to expand God's love and sacrifice to each one of us. Jesus is truly the bread of heaven. His love for us never, ever wanes. He's always there. It's us that move away. God offers God's self to each of us. Theologian Miroslav Volf says, God's gifts aim at making us into generous givers, not just fortunate receivers. God gives so that we, in human measure, can be givers too. So God is in every one of us. We are all made in the image of God, according to the book of Genesis. And when we are angry or disappointed, we need to look at that person and see Jesus. So life is filled with relationships, especially our family. Hopefully we can rest in the realization that as we struggle in life, we also have joy because of those people who are traveling with us. And even though sometimes it's difficult to be nice and loving to those that are dear to us, we must expect that we have to learn how to do this. We have to think about Jesus being rejected in the synagogue and by some of his closest followers. It's so important to recognize that you have Judas, who messes up, and then he goes and commits suicide, and Peter, who messes up, and he goes on to have an incredible ministry. So we need to choose like Peter. So we need to understand how powerful this bread of life is. And it's important for us to see that this is going to be a theme throughout his teaching, this eternal food of God. We are not only our physicality, we are also the spiritual part, and that's what he wants us to get connected to. And in the Eucharist, he shows us how much larger God is than we can ever imagine, and he expands his love and sacrifice to each one of us. Jesus is the bread of heaven. His eternal love for us never wanes. And you'll probably get used to this. I always end my sermons with one of my favorite poems. And so this poem I chose, it's for peace, because I think in families what we need is peace. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of my favorite poems by Wendell Berry, The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's life may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests, in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water. And I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free.
Amen. Yeah.